Okay, we'll get ready to start here. As we warm up, we'll start in the book of Revelation, and I'm in Revelation chapter 11. Okay, today is Sunday, April 17th. Again, welcome to all the saints that are joining us today. Okay, as we go to Revelation chapter 11, we're going to be referencing some scriptures and other chapters here in order to establish a certain history. Okay, so before we get diving into this here, let's first take a sound check. Great. Okay, so then have your notepad ready, your highlighter, and your pen. Okay, again, we're going to be looking at a certain history here. And this certain history has to do with the rod. Okay, so you might want to make a notation on that. You can put the word rod down in your notepad. Because we're going to be looking at that word. That's a very interesting word that the Spirit would select to use with stewardship. Okay, the word rod, R-O-D. Now we'll see this in Revelation chapter 11. So we're gonna branch out here a little bit. We're gonna go back to the history, okay, of the establishment of this particular symbolism and this tradition, which is manifesting itself today. So we see Jesus Christ the same yesterday. We see Jesus Christ today and forever, because what we see here in the book of Revelation is the future. Okay, and the Apostle John, writing this down in the first century, was seeing far into the future, thousands of years, a couple thousand years into the future. So here we can see God again is establishing the church through the apostles and the prophets. Okay, we'll be talking more about that. Okay, but first, let's look at here, Revelation chapter 11. So the first thing you want to highlight is the word rod there in verse 1. Okay, you see that? The word rod. Okay, I highlight the word rod in verse 1, and I highlight the word measure. Okay, measure. We can see that the stewardship is given to rod, and the rod is a unit of measure. The rod is a unit of measure, okay, which establishes, okay, an authority and a scale. Okay, we'll be reading more about that, an authority and a scale. Now, this authority and a scale, being sanctified by God, also establishing a point of division. Okay, the rod was used for the purpose of establishing a division between the sheep and the goats. Okay, so we can see a unit of measure is being presented to us here. So there was given to me, hide the word me there. Okay, the word me, because the Apostle John was selected by God, okay, as a chief elder. He was selected by God to bear this token, okay, in order to reveal and to manifest a certain construction, okay, another token. And it's a temple. Now, was this temple sanctified? Even though this temple, the Tribulation Temple, okay, it met certain biblical criteria, but it lacked something. It lacked the sanctification of God. So that which was holy in regarding its history, okay, was contaminated, okay, in regarding its presence of the beast, okay, which would make himself known as God when he stands in a temple of God. Okay, the beast is going to use the history to establish his authority. And by this, he will blaspheme God. He blasphemed God, the tabernacle, and those which are in heaven, the raptured. So there was given to me a reed. So make sure you hide the word reed there. Now with this reed, he says it was as a rod. And he says here, the angel, so hide the word angel there. Now we know what an angel is. Okay, an angel is a tether and a tutor. Okay, an angel is a tether and a tutor. And we see this also in the book of Hebrews. Well, Paul says, are they not all ministering spirits? Send forth the minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation. So we can see the activity of the angel here, working with the Apostle John, okay, in order to establish this particular authority and also to give discernment to those which are in covenant with God. It's those which are in covenant with God, they have the eyes of discernment. And we'll be exploring more about that when we go to Genesis. Okay, so those which are in covenant with God, okay, have that unit of measure, the rod. Okay, and with that, okay, we can see, okay, that there's a particular scale that's being presented to us in order to bring distinction between the hypocrite and those which are faith, between the clean and the unclean, between that which bears the likeness of God and that which does not bear likeness of God. And we'll see also that in the book of Genesis. This is for the purpose of mating. Okay, the rod is also given to us for the purpose of mating. Let's read on here. So there was given to me a reed, and we highlight that, and rod. The word me, rod, and the angel stood saying, arise. He just like Ezekiel. Now, this isn't not Ezekiel's temple, but Ezekiel also measured the temple. And everything was established by the reed and furlong. Okay, by the reed, the cubit, and the furlong. Okay, everything was established by that. Okay, so we can see that the church is being established by the rod. So the angel, he said, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. So you might want to highlight a few things here concerning the measure, the temple, the altar. Okay, it doesn't stop there. We're talking about the stewardship and the priesthood, aren't we? And them which worship therein. We're talking about also about the stewardship. Okay, so the Apostle John, we're talking about did that and measuring these things. We see here, in the holy city shall they trod underfoot for 42 months. Okay, that at this time, okay, the place which is holy will be considered as unclean. And of course, as we read on, we'll see it's called Sodom and Egypt. And you see that in verse 8, Sodom and Egypt. Okay, wherever the beast goes, the foul odor follows him. Okay, it's like a garbage truck. Okay, a garbage truck. If you get behind a garbage truck on a road, something smells rather foul. Well, that's because you're behind a garbage truck, so you need to get around it, get upwind. Okay, now, the beast is like that garbage truck. Okay, and the spirit which is blowing it is that seducing spirit. Okay, and it's stinking up everything. So it's called Sodom and Egypt. Okay, the place where which was supposed to be the praise of all the earth is a reproach. Okay, it's a reproach and it's blasphemy because it's bearing a different name. It's bearing the children, okay, that are okay, unholy. Okay, the children, the reason why they're unholy because they're out of wedlock. Okay, the children of the beast are out of wedlock. They don't bear the name of their father. Okay, so they're out of wedlock, but they do have their mother, which is the mother of harlots. Now, having said these things and established these things here, and regarding its present use, the rod and the unit of measure, okay, at this present time as well as also in the future, just take a little a trip back in the past here. So let's first go to Genesis. Then we'll be going to the book of Ephesians, and we'll see some more interesting things there. Okay, so in the book of Genesis, okay, in Genesis chapter 30, so make a note on that in your notepad, and verse 37 through 43. Okay, we're going to see about the rod. Now, Jacob took him rods of green poplar and of the hazel and chestnut tree, okay, and peeled white streaks in them and made the white appear, which was in the rods. So I had the word rod there. Okay, so this particular rod right here, again, is the working of a miracle. Okay, the working of a miracle. Now, what do we see here? Okay, we see a miracle taking place because of the rod, and Jacob was a steward. Okay, Jacob put the rod in the trough, which is the waters. Putting the trough in the waters, the cattle which drank of that, okay, began to mate. So he set the rods which he had peeled before the flocks in the gutters and the watering troughs, okay, which the flocks came to drink, and when they they should conceive when they came to drink. Now this was an out-of-season miracle. It was an out-of-season miracle, but it was establishing certain boundaries between Laban and Jacob. So we see that the rod was used as a miracle. Okay, it was also used to bring discernment between that which Jacob owned under his stewardship and that which Laban owned under his stewardship. So we see the righteous steward as in Jacob and the unrighteous steward as in Laban. Okay, Laban was a thief. Okay, he was going to use Jacob's labor for the purpose of his own increase, okay, as Satan does today. Satan uses the Bible for the increase of his own house. But the scriptures point to the stewardship, which is for assigning this knowledge, okay, for the purpose of God's house, okay, to bear God's likeness. Okay, so what happened? And of course, then the flocks conceived before the rods, slide the word rod there again, and brought forth cattle, ring-straked, speckled, and spotted. Now you see in verse 40 the word separate. And Jacob did separate the lambs, and set the faces of the flocks toward the ring-straked, and all the brown in the flock to Laban, of Laban. Now, and Jacob, at this point, he separated and he put his own flocks by themselves. That's what God is doing today. Okay, the rod is bringing separation. The rod is bringing separation. And the false religious system, they don't like that. Okay, they don't like that. The reason why they don't like that is because they can extract our labor, and that's what they're doing. They're reading our material, they're stealing our material, and they're putting our material upon their site. Okay, and they're making claim without referencing, communicate to the stewardship, they're making claim that is that they had that themselves given to them by God, see? But it didn't. It came to the stewardship. Okay, the stewardship put the rod in the trough with the water, and it was the cattle that drank of it. The cattle are those which are yet unconverted. When the unconverted drink of this water, now they bear forth fruit to God. And those that partake of this knowledge are bearing forth fruit to God. They're going through their cycles of growth and overcoming. Okay? Going through the cycles of growth and overcoming does not mean that that your life is without affliction or tribulation or trouble. Okay, Jacob, though the steward and had the rod, yet he also had troubles. Okay? But the Lord was with him. Regardless of that, but even in his troubles, he multiplied. And in your troubles, you will multiply. Okay, so that's the first thing we're looking at here is the Jacob's rod. So make sure you make a note on that notepad. Jacob's rod in Genesis chapter 30, 33 through 43, or 37 through 43. So it came to pass when the word of the stronger cattle did conceive that Jacob laid the rods before the eyes of the cattle in the gutters, that's verse 41, that they might conceive among the rods. See, the word conceive has to do with the mate. We mate in these waters by the rod, okay, which has to do with the stewardship. Now, when the cattle were feeble, he put them not in. So the feebler were Laban's. Okay, that's the false religious system. And the stronger were Jacob's, which is those in covenant. The man increased. So we see the word increased by the rod and separation by the rod. Okay, and also it was by the rod that brought contention. And you, of course, you'll see this in chapter 31. And Jacob, now he was listening to a conversation among Laban's sons, and Laban's sons were saying this. Jacob took away all that was our father's. Okay, in other words, they're saying Jacob's is a sheep stealer. They say the same thing about the second eighth week. The second eighth week is only stealing sheep, okay, from other churches. That's right. Those which are hungering and thirsting after righteousness will come to this trough. Okay, and when they come to this trough and drink of the water, they will conceive and bring forth fruit, okay, unto the kingdom of God. So we can see that the staff, okay, or the rod, okay, brings conflict because it brings separation and it makes distinction. So Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and of all that was our father's, has he gotten all this glory. Now Jacob, he beheld the countenance of Laban's sons. Behold, it was not toward him as before. So we can see that the attitude of the false religious system will change when you no longer confirm them. Okay, having said that, now let's go to the next chapter. We're still in Genesis here, so turn to Genesis chapter 38. So make a note on that. Genesis chapter 38. And we'll start around verse 18. We're going to see another rod. And this is a rod in symbolism of mating, okay, and also for the purpose of adoption. Now, through the rod of the stewardship also comes your adoption. Okay, now, Tamar was of Mesopotamia, okay, but she joined herself to Judah, and she bore two children, which shows that through the rod comes increase. So let's read about that. Okay, Judah's rod. Okay, Genesis chapter 38. Now, we're again establishing the history of the rod, which we read about in Revelation chapter 11. The rod was used as a unit of measure for the temple, okay, the altar, and them that worship therein. Well, let's see how this unfolds here. Okay, so let's go to verse 18 here. We're in Genesis 38, 18. Okay, now Judah said, what pledge shall I give you? And she said, your signet, your bracelets, and the staff which is in your hand. And Judah gave it to her and came in unto her, and she conceived by him. Okay, what's interesting is that this also became a point of discernment, okay, whether it was in sin or in righteousness. Now that's verse 18, okay, whereas this is where the steward initiated this. Now Judah is a steward, okay, as Levi was the priesthood. Now she was brought forth, and she sent to her father-in-law, saying, by the man whose these are, the tokens, to whom the tokens belong, I am with child. Okay, and she said, discern. So hide the word discern there, and that's in verse 25. Now see, the rod is for discernment. Discern, I pray you, these tokens. Discern, I pray you, whose are these? The signet, the bracelets, and the staff. Judah acknowledged him and said, she has been more righteous than I. Okay, that is in keeping the vow. In keeping the vow. Because that I gave her not to Shelah, my son. And Judah knew her again no more. Okay, it's the same thing with the Virgin Mary. Okay, she brought forth the Messiah, okay, but no man knew her prior before that nor after that. Okay, so we can see again how the rod, again, is used as a unit of measure, justification, and increase. Now let's turn to the book of Exodus. This is going to be more interesting here, okay, as a point of authority. Now, and I'm in Exodus chapter 4, so turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 4 and make a note on that in your notepad, Exodus chapter 4, and we're going to go from verses 1 through 5. Now, Moses answered and said this, "Behold, they will not believe me." In other words, the revelations which Moses received at this point of time, there's no other witnesses around. Nobody was there that could confirm that a bush spoke to Moses. Nobody could confirm that, see? Okay, but the confirmation was in the grace was in the rod, okay, the token which God gave to him. So let's see this tradition. Now Moses answered and said, "Behold, they will not believe me, because they will debate as Joseph's house the guy that the deliverer will come from. Okay, but I'm from Levi." They thought that out of the house of Joseph will come a deliverer that will rise to again a state of power, okay, using the government of Egypt, okay, for deliverance and for the confirmation of Israel. But God says, what God was revealing to Moses right here says, I don't need the power of Egypt. Okay, I don't need Pharaoh's oath. I don't need his armies. I don't need his ships. Okay, I don't need his gold. Okay, I don't really need anything of Pharaoh, but this is what I need. I want you. Okay, so, but behold, they will not believe me nor hearken to my voice. Of course, I'm not of Joseph, I'm of Levi. They won't listen to my voice, for they say, the Lord has not appeared unto you. I mean, they'll always debate that. Okay, they'll always debate that, but it's the grace of God. So that's the same thing the Lord said to me. Okay, when it was asked in a dream vision, it was asked, how will they know? And the Lord says, it's the grace and peace. By the grace and peace, they will know. Okay, but if their heart is hardened to grace, they're not going to listen. But if those, okay, which are seeking the Lord, okay, hear these tidings, then they will gladly receive them. Now, just like Aaron gladly received his brother Moses. Now, Moses being the younger. The Lord said to him, what is in your hand? And Moses replied, it's a rod. Okay, so hide the word a rod there in verse 2. Okay, now I'm in Exodus chapter 4, verse 2. That the Lord is saying, I'm going to turn this thing into a token of deliverance. That's what God is telling Moses. I'm going to turn that which is common into that which is a wonder. Now, a wonder is that which is not common. That's what a wonder means. It's not that of a common occurrence or a common nature. Somebody walking on water is a wonder because it's against nature. Now, and he said, cast it on the ground. Now, he cast it on the ground and became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said to Moses, put forth your hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. So I like the word rod again, verse 4. That they may believe that the Lord God of their father is the God of Abraham. And you notice the sources now. Okay, the sources, the genealogy of the flesh, was his memorial. Okay, the memorial, though it was in the flesh, okay, it was established the promise which God gave to Abraham, okay, concerning their earthly inheritance. Okay, the promise given to Abraham also has to do with the heavenly inheritance. Okay, that's why it's called the faith of Abraham. So we see here that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. That is by the sign you have victory over Satan. By the sign you have victory over Satan. So God anoints the staff, okay, or the rod for the purpose of this victory. So we can see that God put an authority in the rod. God put also a sign in the rod. And the history again goes back to Jacob. It goes back to Judah. Okay, it even goes back to the time of Noah, whereas the ark itself became a place of refuge for the clean and the unclean, which has to do with the Jew and the Gentile, for the clean and the unclean. Okay, having said that, let's make another note here in the book of Numbers. Okay, in Numbers chapter 17. So make a note on that in your notepad, Numbers chapter 17. Okay, and we're going to look at verse 8 here, Numbers 17:8. We see here, well, let's start in verse 6. And Moses spoke to the children of Israel. Every one of their princes gave him a rod apiece. This is what the false religious system is doing today. Okay, they're competing with the rod, okay, which God's given. They want to put forth their rod for the purpose of receiving evidence of their calling. But God did not give evidence to the calling. Their rods are dead. But God gave evidence to the calling which this rod has. And the rod brought forth fruit. So every one of the princes gave him, Moses, a rod apiece. For each prince won according to their father's houses, even 12 rods. And the rod of Aaron was among the rods. This was establishing the priesthood, the stewardship and priesthood. Moses laid the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness. See the word witness there? It's like the word witness. The rod that buds possesses the witness. Okay, the rod that buds possesses the witness, and the rod which the Lord has given to me possesses that witness. This is what the Lord said back in 1977-78, where the Spirit said, wait till the rod buds. The rod is budding. It's bringing forth fruit. And that fruit is life of Christ within you. So it came to pass, right, the word witness there. Moses laid up the rods before the Lord in a tabernacle witness. And it came to pass that on the morrow, this has to do with the time frame and the passage of time, Moses went into tabernacle. So hide the word tabernacle witness. Moses went into tabernacle witness. The witness has to do with what God is establishing within this dimension. Because God is invisible, God has provided a witness of himself in this dimension to represent his dimension in this dimension. And we go on here and it says, behold the rod of Aaron, for the house of Levi has budded. And what did it do when it budded? It brought forth buds, it blossomed blossoms and yielded almonds. But the other rods remained dead. The rod which they put within the tabernacle had no life in it. It was a dead stick. It would be impossible for that stick in any manner to come to life to bear root and fruit. It was impossible, but not by the power of God. The anointing. Okay, the anointing takes that which is dead and makes it living. That's what God did with you. That's what God would do with me. We were dead in darkness and sin. But when the anointing came upon you, that which was dead now became living. It became living by the rod. And you're bringing forth almonds. These are sweet almonds. Now, sweet almonds were etched within the seven golden candlesticks. This is part of your light. This is part of the light. Okay, the tokens which God has provided for us. The almond, which you see here in verse 8, okay, was also inscribed in the lampstand, the seven candlesticks. Okay, it was inscribed within that. Okay, regarding a knop and a flower and an almond. Okay, a knop and a flower and an almond. So we can see that through this token of the almond, the flower on the candlestick showed a blossoming of that. That was a symbolism. That was a symbolism. By the anointing, the oil which would go into the lamp would be poured within the top. And being poured on the top after it was lit, we could see its process taking place. And regarding the almond, the knop, and the flower. From the seed to the fruit. From the seed to the fruit. Now the knop, which is in between them, showed the parting of time. The knop is like a globe, a parting of time. And being a parting of time from the seed to the flower, then the Spirit of the Lord will take that knowledge which was put within your heart and bring forth fruit by the anointing, which, of course, shows the connection of the almond, which was in Aaron's rod that budded, which is what? Your priesthood. So Moses brought out all the rods from before the Lord unto every man's rod. The Lord's doing the same thing today. When the Lord brings forth the rod that has budded, it brings shame upon those who are claiming that their rods were bearing forth fruit. But what they did is they went down to the local gift shop and they brought plastic flowers and plastic fruit and they glued plastic flowers and plastic fruit on their rods and they went around prating it around. Look at everybody, look at my fruit and my rod. See, okay, I'm the steward of the house of God. And they said, oh, that looks great. Let me take a bite of that. And the guy says, oh, no, you can't touch this. It's holy fruit. Okay, of course, we don't want to take a bite of this plastic fruit because you get a mouthful of wax, wouldn't you? Okay, but this rod is budded. The rod that is budded may not have the eye appeal of that which is the aspiration, but it has the soul appeal as concerning fruit bearing. The Lord said to Moses, bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony to be kept for a token against the rebels. So I hate the word token, rod, token, and against the rebels. Again, the rod was used for the purpose of bringing discernment and distinction between those that love God and those don't love God. And you should quite take away the murmurings from me, that they die not. See the word murmurings? The murmurings has to do with the inquisitiveness and questions which they would continually force upon Moses. They had always asked Moses, what about this and what about that? Why isn't God doing this? Why aren't we in the promised land yet? Okay, why are all these things happening to us? What's going on, Moses? They were trying to undermine Moses with a lot of questions to challenge him. The same temptations which were spoken by the Pharisees against Jesus. Now, if this man were of God, he would know that the person that touches him is unclean. Remember, that was one of the discernment projects. The Pharisees provided a list of discernment projects which they would apply to Jesus. They say, okay, now we'll see if this guy is really the Lord or not. Whether he regards the Sabbath day. Oh, look at that. He's bringing the Sabbath. Oh, he can't be of the Lord. Then they made another challenge to him. says, oh, look, he's breaking the Sabbath. His disciples are eating or getting rubbing ears of corn on Sabbath day. So the Pharisees were full of questions, and they were full of challenges, and they rejected the Messiahship of Jesus Christ, and they died in their sins. And that's exactly what Jesus said was going to happen. Okay? Exactly what happened, because they refused the rod. It's by the rod that you receive the anointing for increase. Okay, now, having read that, let's go over now to Psalms 23. Now, you can understand Psalms 23 a little better here. Psalms 23. Everybody should know what that is, right? Okay, it's a good one to memorize. There's only 6 verses. That's a good one to memorize. Psalms 1 is a good one to memorize, too. Yeah, I memorized quite a few chapters here in the book of Psalms, and I meditate upon these things. And Psalms 23 is one of them, and I love it. But we go on here, when he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, he's establishing the fact, okay, that when he says, the Lord is my shepherd, he says, this is the covenant. The covenant is giving me eyes and wisdom. The Lord, which is the Spirit, is giving me eyes and wisdom. He is my shepherd, I shall not want. I will not lack for the revelation. Okay, I will not lack for the revelation. But let's go down here in verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, which is this dimension. This dimension of the water is the valley of the shadow of death. The reason why it's called the shadow of death is because it's under Satan's rule. And death is prevailing over all souls. Okay, death is prevailing over all souls. But Jesus has the keys of hell and death, which means that though we are in the flesh, yet death cannot contaminate the soul. Okay, death cannot contaminate the soul. So he says here, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I fear no evil. And when he says the word evil there, he's not talking about the circumstances, but rather the sowing of false knowledge. Because he has a rod. I'm not afraid of false knowledge. I could read all the books, all the volume books of the world, and I'm not afraid of them. Now, when I was in a false religious system, okay, I would refuse to read any other books. Because as I wasn't sure even what truth was until Christ brought me out of that kingdom. Okay, when Christ brought me out of that kingdom and gave me the rod, then I was able to make distinction. But with apart that rod, I couldn't make distinction, okay, because my rod was dead. Okay, but when the Lord touched it, he put life back into the rod. He can give life, he can take life, just like the tree when Jesus cursed the fig tree. When he says, let no fruit grow on you hereafter forever, that was an established act and a sign that even continues to this day. He said, forever. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. He says here, for thou art with me. See the word with me? How do we know that? How do we know that God is with us? Because thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. See the word rod and staff? Okay, we see the same thing, the word rod there. So I like the word rod. Okay, because God's name is in his rod. And by this rod, he is restoring your soul. Verse 3. By the rod, he's restoring your soul. By this rod, you're walking in a prophetic path. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. By the rod, you're able to understand the tokens of ownership, okay, for his name's sake. Okay, he's delivering us from the sources of evil, the false knowledge of this world, which kept us looped in ignorance and in death. Okay, the rod has brought us out from that loop of ignorance and death. He set us on a path. As the scripture says, he set my feet upon this path. So he says, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, hide the word comfort there also. It gives us confidence. Okay, it gives us confidence. It gives us peace. We know. We know what we believe. Okay, but as those outside the covenant, they're not sure. Because they're not sure, they're using the scale of their own uncertainty to charge other people that are sure with folly. That's what the Pharisees did with Jesus. The Pharisees weren't really sure. Okay, but in the state of their murmuring, in the state of their questions, okay, they were charging Jesus with folly, saying, how do you know? How can you have all the truth? Because they heard Jesus say, I am the truth, I am the way, the truth, life. They heard Jesus say that, I am the way, the truth, and life. Okay, Jesus was establishing himself as that rod and token for the purpose of fellowship and distinction, discernment, growth, increase, mating, all these things. Okay, in himself. Thy rod and staff, they comfort me. And by this comfort, we have comfort food. Jesus is our comfort food. You prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies, which is in this dimension. And in the presence of my enemies, which means in this dimension, we are feasting on God's comfort food. It gives us peace because the anointing is there. And you anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Okay, that's the overflow of the soul. The soul overflows and increases. Okay, now let's look at Proverbs 29:15. So I'm going to go to Proverbs here. Okay, Proverbs 29, verse 15. All right, Proverbs 29, verse 15. Make a note on another note there in your notepad. Okay, everyone knows this scripture here, I'm sure, but it says here, the rod and reproof give wisdom. So hide the word rod in verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom. Reproof, isn't that what Jacob did with Laban? Okay, reproof, isn't that also what took place with Judah? Reproof, isn't that what also happened between the communication between Moses and Pharaoh? Reproof, isn't that what's taking place with Moses and the children of Israel? Reproof, isn't that what took place between Jesus and the Pharisees? Reproof, isn't that what's happening now? We're speaking reproof of doctrine. Correction has to be set forth in reproof. Reproof, which means, okay, that which you provided before is found inadequate. The laughter movement, that's inadequate. See, so I spoke reproof and doctrine. Okay, same thing with tithing. Okay, what the false religious system promoted is concerning the prosperity message. Okay, we speak reproof against. We correct that thinking. Okay, the true stewardship corrects the thinking. The false stewardship only carries the tradition of what they previously have embraced. In other words, they bring their modifications to wherever they want to embrace. And that's what they did. And there was a lot of confusion about that, mostly in a way for faith word churches. There was a lot of confusion about that. One church would say this and the other church would say that. Okay, but they all claimed to spring from the same root or from the same seed. Okay, of course, that was the bitter almond. The bitter almond and the dry stick. Okay, or a dry tree. The word dry tree was applied to the eunuch. Okay, the eunuch was considered as a dry tree because the eunuch could not impregnate. Okay, they couldn't impregnate. The power of their gender was removed, so they couldn't impregnate. In a false religious system, their power is removed. The anointing is in the power. Okay, or the power is in the anointing. Okay, and the anointing is in the rod. And you are as a fruitful tree. Okay, why are you a fruitful tree? Because you're planted by the rivers of water. Okay, the rivers of water have to do with the source, okay, which is this knowledge. Okay, the gospel of your salvation. So rod and reproof give instruction, but a child left to himself brings his mother to shame. The child, which means those in a false religious system, will wander. They'll be streetwise kids, but they won't be faith-wise children of God. And they won't be faith-wise, they'll be streetwise. In other words, they know how to resource the world for their own aspiration. But we, who are in covenant, know how to resource the kingdom of God for our faith. And that's what we're doing today. So the rod and reproof bring correction. Now, having said these things, let's enjoy some of the book of Ephesians. So let's turn to Ephesians now. And we'll spend the remainder of time here in the book of Ephesians. But we also have a couple other references that you might want to turn to. We'll make a note on that. We're in Ephesians chapter 3. So turn your Bibles now to Ephesians chapter 3. Now, keep in mind some of the things which are brought to your attention there in regarding Revelation chapter 11. Okay, Genesis chapter 30, we see a thread of tradition, okay, which reaches way back in the history when God was establishing a sign in this particular token, which we are also embracing today, okay, the rod. Okay, as we read this, we're going to see how the Apostle Paul was including himself. He was including his calling within his epistles, okay, but we don't see that unfolded in that first covenant and regarding the first person. The writings are different because one has to do with the defiled conscience and the other one has to do with the pure conscience. The epistles of Paul have to do with the pure conscience. So everything that he writes here is relative to us, those in covenant. It's not relative to those which are defiled conscience. But the people with the defiled conscience, because their logic can't penetrate the veil of this mystery, they go back to Moses and they put their narrative into their conscience. And they use the narrative of their conscience as the voice of God. That's not the voice of God. The true voice is in the anointing. It's not in the narrative of this history. We go on here. For this cause I, so we're going to be looking at some words here. The word I, me, and my. I, me, and my. The Apostle Paul is including himself within this growth system. He's including himself. That the government of God, you cannot grow strong apart from the government. You need government, truth, and spirit. We always said that. Government, truth, and spirit. The apostle calling is necessary because it's establishing the knowledge and that foundation for your faith to grow. Without the calling, you wouldn't know what a priesthood was. But now by the calling, you understand the value of the priesthood. When you're outside of covenant, the priesthood remained in a form of ambiguity. Ambiguity. You looked at it, and in your mind's eye, you feel you could comprehend it by your own logic, but yet it was elusive to your practice. So you couldn't understand, why is it that what I read in the Bible, I'm not living up to? Why is it what I read in here in the epistles is lacking in my own experience? Hey, I had that question until the Lord spoke to me. Hey, I had the same question. I was in that same experience. I was illuminated, okay, but I yet needed to come in covenant with God. Hey, my illumination needed to be sealed. Okay, and it needed to be sealed by the foundation of truth being put within my heart. And God began to establish this understanding. Okay, slowly but surely, he began to establish an understanding way back in the early 70s. It was because of that understanding that he was granting to me, that also granted me that deliverance. Okay, it granted me that deliverance. I was able to make distinctions, which I couldn't before. And by the distinctions, I knew it was good and I knew it was evil. My senses are now being exercised, which before I couldn't. In my opinion, back then, everyone was a Christian. But it was confusing because this guy over here, he wasn't sealed with the Holy Ghost. He wasn't even speaking in tongues. But he was a nice guy. Why, I thought even the Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, they had some hope. Okay, so if everyone has hope, then there is really no distinction. And this is what the church was pressing. The false religious system was pressing that, not God. Okay, until I cried out to God. It says, there has to be distinction. There has to be one truth. It can't be like this. How can you preach the gospel to people who have their own gospel already? Well, let's go on here. So for this cause, I, Paul, so I like the word I there. I, Paul, he's identifying himself right here as an integral part, functioning part, in the government of God and for the growth of the brethren. Okay, and he goes on here, the prisoner of Jesus Christ. Okay, even as Joseph, as an example, Joseph was a prisoner to Pharaoh, okay, and as a captive and a servant, okay, he benefited the house of Pharaoh. And as a captain and a servant, we benefit the house of God. Okay, we are joined to the house of God by mating. Though he was of Jacob, Joseph had children in Egypt. And the high priest of Egypt gave Joseph Asenath, okay, by which, okay, he had children. We see Jew and Gentile, okay, being joined together, and through Joseph's stewardship, okay, they were saved. They were saved. They were released as Ephraim and Manasseh. Okay, they were released from that bondage when the children of Israel departed. This cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, that's to benefit you with the true bread, okay, which I have laid up in my heart for you. Okay, the bread. Okay, I gave this bread for the Gentiles, I laid up my heart, which means the table. Thy rod and thy staff, they cover me. You have prepared a table before me, and it is the table of your heart. If you have heard the dispensation of the fullness, that is the grace of God regarding Christ's fullness. So if you have heard and understood this, of this time, of this changing season and time frame, for the benefit that by the anointing upon the rod, which God assigned to my stewardship. Okay, now the reason why I say that, the grace of God which is given to me, so I have the word me there. The Apostle Paul is including himself in regarding this revelation and grace. Because you are all partakers of my grace, Paul said in the book of Philippians. Okay, so highlight the word me and draw a line from the word me to I in verse 1. And then make a note in your notepad there, 2 Thessalonians 3:17. Okay, 2 Thessalonians 3:17. And of course, I'm going to turn over there and read it to you. And what did Paul say here? The salutation of Paul with my own hand, which is a token. Highlight the word token there, or make a note on that. Which is a token in every epistle, so I write, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, amen. In other words, Paul is identifying that the staff which he has, okay, is budded. Okay, the staff which I possess is budded. Okay, the salutation of Paul, okay, with my own hand. So my stewardship, Paul is saying, my stewardship bears the true rod of God. Okay, which tool measures your comprehension, this knowledge, just like we see in the book of Revelation? Which tool is used? The tool is used, it measures your comprehension of this knowledge. The rod is used to measure your comprehension, just like it was used in the measurement of the millennial temple. It was an established unit of measure, as the cubit and the span. The cubit, the span, the rod, or the reed, okay, was used. Now Moses was found among the reeds. Okay, and found among the reeds, 40 years later, he left Egypt with a rod. He became the rod. Found among the reeds, he became the rod. Okay, and we can see that through his hardships, God prepared him. Okay, through his hardships, God prepared him. We see grace and suffering there. So here, Paul is bringing the same thing out. He talks about this. The salutation of Paul with my own hand. That's the true rod of God, which is a token. Which is a token in every epistle, so I write. The word hand, right, knowledge. And what is it? The grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, amen. This spirit will sanctify your knowledge for your labor. The anointing will accompany this this labor, this knowledge. It will work with this knowledge. It will work with this knowledge and you'll spring forth fruit. That's what you want. Without fruit, you have nothing to give to our King. Without fruit, how can you enter into the courts of God with confidence? You can't. But the fruit that's being birthed within you through the stewardship which God has anointed, you're going to be able to enter the courts with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. So he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, amen. For the Spirit will sanctify this knowledge in your labor at the altar and bless his name in the assembly. That's what the Apostle Paul was bringing out there. The stewardship. Now when we see in the book of Ephesians, I'm going back to Ephesians now, chapter 3. This is what he's saying. That in the dispensation, the fullness of time, now of course we're Ephesians chapter 3 here. You have heard the dispensation, the fullness of time, and he says here, the dispensation of the grace of God. Now fullness of time he was speaking about there in chapter 1. Now he's talking about the dispensation of grace. This is the time frame for this power to manifest. This power will manifest with this knowledge. The knowledge of God, being that of the Spirit, which has to do with God's fire charity. God's fire charity. The grace of God which is given me to you, where so hide the word me there, how that by revelation, like as in a divine dream, God unfolded this mystery to me for the church. And of course, we'll see that in verse 10. Right, how that God is making these things known for the church today. Now, the word revelation is it was something that's concealed but now revealed. Something concealed but now revealed. How that by revelation he may know, God may know unto me, this comfort, to comfort you in this knowledge, may know unto me this mystery. Now the reason why he says the word mystery is because it's beyond the veil. It's on the other side of the veil. The mystery which the Apostle Paul is unfolding right here is not that which is down here, but that which is in the throne of God. The mystery is in the throne of God because Jesus Christ is that mystery. That's why it's called the mystery of Christ in verse 4. So here we go on verse 3, how that by revelation, by divine dream, awakening from a divine dream, the revelation was now set within my heart. How that by revelation he made known unto me, that is to comfort. This revelation was given to me for the church to comfort you in this knowledge, like comfort food, to comfort you in the knowledge to increase in his peace. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words. Of course, we witness this pattern in scripture history today. It's called scripture history. We are living scripture history because that which was spoken by the prophets, even Enoch, is unfolding in our lifetime. So that's scripture history. We are living in scripture history. So how God assigned a token to teach us of this power as concerning the rod and the staff of that sign. We read about that in Psalms 23. By which we receive his bread in verse 4. Whereby when you read, understanding this pattern of history, whereby when you read, you may understand. That's to set order to these facts about this hidden, about these hidden things. These are hidden things which are invisible to the logic of man, but are made clear by the Spirit, by that anointing for us to see. We see these things by faith. Those which do not walk by faith cannot see or behold nor comprehend these tokens. They can't understand it. And standing in that derision, it is evident that God has judged them as unworthy. Because of their opposition. But when they turn to the Lord and God in his mercy grants them grace, then they'll be able to make that decision again. God will grant them repentance to the acknowledgement of this life, that they may recover themselves out of the snares of Satan, out of the snares of the devil, who are taken captive by him for his will. The perception of the false religious system is under Satan's influence. That's why they can't escape it on their own will. Until God grants them the grace to come out of that. And they're not going to come out of that until they turn their hearts toward the Lord. When they turn their hearts to the Lord and God sees that they are turning to Him, He'll give them grace, and then He'll watch their decision. He'll open the cap of their conscience. Okay, when He opens the cap of their conscience, okay, and upon that illumination, if he sees that they lean toward Him and not toward Satan, now Cain leaned toward Satan and murdered his brother. So when those in a false religious system, having been illuminated, they put the cap back on. Okay, they put the cap back on. When they put the cap back on, which has to do with that they're establishing their guilt as that idol, and they're worshiping that guilt, okay, rather than grace. When they put the cap back on, then they murder their brother, which means they deny life. Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge is in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages, okay, that which is in other ages, which means this is a new week for the church, which would be, that was the first eighth week. Now we're in the second eighth week, which in other ages was not made known. It was concealed to the defiled conscience because the cap was yet on their head. Okay, but now the cap is removed. And that's why Paul brings that out there in Corinthians. Okay, and regarding if a man have long hair is a shame to him, as is as a cap. Okay, but to the woman having long hair, that is her glory because of the angels, which shows the tethering. That's the church. Okay, that's the church. We have the tethering of the angels because of the church, but the cap is now removed because Christ is our head. Okay, we're no longer under Moses, okay, whereas we had to cover our face. So which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, it is now revealed. Okay, this mystery is seen only by the anointing which has to do with the oil in the lamp. Now the oil is in the lamp because you embrace now the sweet almond. When you embrace the sweet almond, your faith will provide the fruit. So we see the almond, the knop, and the flower, which in other ages is not made known to sons of men, as is now revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Let's talk about that. So this mystery is seen by the anointing for the two staves to bear the Ark of the Testimony. Okay, two poles were put within the Ark to be borne upon the shoulders of the priesthood. The priesthood has to labor with the stewardship. And the Ark of the Covenant, okay, was a rod that of Aaron that budded the tables of the covenant, and also had to do with the pot of manna, which has to do with government, truth, and spirit. The government, truth, and spirit is what the priesthood must labor with. And the two poles which they bore upon their shoulders, okay, was that yoke, which has to do with apostles and prophets. Okay, the apostles which received the knowledge, and the prophets which confirmed the knowledge. The apostles which received the knowledge, the prophets which confirmed the knowledge. Okay, and we all prophesy one by one, confirming the knowledge, don't we? And so we see the apostles and prophets. Okay, by the Spirit, for God put the sign even in Noah's Ark, that both clean and unclean animals should have refuge, and that Abraham also included others within the promise. And the Apostle Paul is bringing this to attention to the church, that you as Gentiles are also entered into the ark of this refuge, as Noah was the second week. Noah was the second week, and all those that entered the ark have that refuge under his stewardship, okay, both clean and unclean. And God is calling out to all people, hey, come unto me, okay, clean and unclean. But he knows the exact number that can come in. Okay, he knows the exact number. So here we go on. The Gentiles should be fellow heirs. See the word fellow heir? Okay, the fellow heir, Eliezer Damascus, he was a Syrian, but he joined himself to Abraham, being a servant. He joined himself. There was a lot of people from other tribes, okay, or other cultures that joined himself to Abraham, as we see also with the Hittites and the Hivites. They joined themselves, not as a consenting tribe, but as a people that were that believed the tidings of Abraham and also accepted the message of Melchizedek. When Chedorlaomer was defeated, Abraham gained a large following after that because of the revelation that was given him and a confirmation of Melchizedek. Okay, even the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah, okay, were very much taken. Okay, when they saw this great king Melchizedek come and confirm this tribesman, okay, rich and wealthy tribesman and prince Abraham. And the Gentiles were now included, okay, within the promise. So the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, but the same thing today. The Gentiles should be fellow heirs in the same body, the partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, which Paul says, I'm preaching to you now. Whereof I, so I had the word I there. So the same verse 7, see the word I. And then I drew a line from the word I to the word apostles in verse 5. From the word apostles, the word my knowledge in verse 4. From my knowledge, the word known to me to mystery in verse 3. From verse 3, me, the mystery, to the word me to you word in verse 2. And from me to you word to the word I, Paul, there in verse 1. So he can see the line of thinking he has there. He's including himself within this covenant. Okay, just like Moses. Now, Moses included himself when he was speaking in the first person. But that gospel is far different than what Paul is bringing out. What Paul is bringing out has to do with the regeneration. But what Moses is bringing out had to do with that which was challenging the corruption of the defiled conscience. The law charged Adam with folly, but grace charges us with righteousness. And when we are the servants of sin, and when we are under that kingdom, we are the servants of sin, as Paul brings out. But now we're the servants of righteousness. We're in the kingdom of God, servants of righteousness. So now we are partakers of the promise, which has to do with the internal inheritance. What is this promise? We're the partakers of this promise in Christ, not Moses, but in Christ. In Moses, it would be the tithing, okay, the circumcision, the water baptism, the Sabbath day observation, okay, and all the rites, the rituals, the statutes, and the judgments, and everything under that law. You have to observe everything. You just can't pick and choose what you want. Like the Seventh-day Adventists, they pick and choose. They take something out of the Old Testament, a Sabbath day, and try to join that to Christ, which is a Sabbath man. That doesn't make sense. But that's what they do. So the whole is evil because there's no regeneration in it. The Spirit will not sanctify that. Their faith is dead. They're a dead tree. They're a dry tree. But yet, all they're doing is gluing on the plastic fruit on a tree, and the world admires their sense of art. But that's all they're gonna do. They admire their sense of art. There's no life in it. All right, let's look at verse 7 here. Whereof I was made a minister according, cite the word according there, by the authority of that gift which God gave to me. The token, that rod, that token rod, that gift which God gave to me. This was the authority. Now we see that authority was provided for Moses. So we go back and we can see again, Jacob's rod that budded, the rod for increase in discernment. So the rod gave a miracle for ownership. We go back to the book of Judah, the token for mating, justification, and increase in spiritual genealogy. Okay, and Tamar bore twins. We also go back according to Moses, Exodus. The rod is for the authority to overcome Satan. So God puts a sign and wonder in this token to bring deliverance and salvation. We see the two staves there within the ark, the altar, and the altar of incense. Okay, whereas the two poles there represented as the apostles and prophets. The apostles and prophets, the stewardship and the priesthood, because Levites bore them, which shows that which is of the flesh, he will be subject to that which is of the spirit. Okay, then we get to Numbers chapter 17. We talk about Aaron, Aaron's rod that budded. Okay, that God's life, God gives life to the dead. As a rod budded, God gives life to the dead. So whereof I, Paul, is made a minister. God, Paul's including him now within your growth, in your cycles of growth. Whereof I, Paul, made a minister according to the gift. So I had the word according there. That's to bear the ark of this knowledge. As God assigned a Levi under Moses to bear the ark. According to the gift of grace of God given unto me. Because Paul says, I know the tokens that are inside this ark. Now a true apostle knows the tokens inside that ark. So now you have another sign of discernment. Okay, a false apostle does not know the tokens that are concealed in the ark. I know what the tokens are. See, they don't know the tokens. Because they don't know the tokens, all they're doing is describing and drawing pictures of the ark. They say, and then they draw a picture of it. They paint within the lines. It has those number paintings. So they paint within the lines and they show everybody, isn't this beautiful? This is the ark. Hey, what does that mean? Now, a true apostle and true prophet would know that. A true prophet would confirm that. The true prophet would confirm the articles which are concealed from the eye inside that ark. So whereof I, Paul, being that rod, was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God. Just get your sacrifices ready here. Whereof I, Paul, was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God. Hey, that which the Spirit was given to me. Okay, I know the tokens put inside the ark. So here he says, the grace of God given to me by the effectual working. What's inside that ark, okay, is profitable for the soul. What's inside this knowledge is profitable for the soul. What's inside this knowledge? Well, Aaron's rod that budded. The tables of the covenant. The pot of manna. That which is concealed from the carnal mind is revealed by the Spirit. We got government, truth, spirit, prayer, preaching, prophecy, gifts and callings, and grace of God. We see all the tokens are absolutely necessary to benefit your growth so that you can excel. Effectual working. The word effectual working, which means there's a cause that's unfolding. A cause is unfolding by the presence of something else. Like fire turning water into steam. That's a process. Fire turns water to steam. That's effectual. So there is a cause that's unfolding by the presence of something else. And that anointing is a cause which affects change within you. Because you're enduring the cycles of growth, and through these cycles of growth, you're gaining experience. Through these cycles of growth, fruit is sprouting forth. And through these cycles of growth, you feel the pruning of the Holy Ghost. The pruning. And when you get to that certain level, it's ouch and ow. Okay, that means God has begun sawing some branches off. He says, this is now time to take some of these things away from you. Now, God allows certain things to remain with you until you get to a certain level. Okay, so he allows babies to put their thumbs in their mouth. But at adults, it doesn't look right. So when an infant can get away with certain things. Okay, but as you grow in the knowledge of God, you begin to put away those childish things. Hey, what was really valuable to you? I mean, you had arguments, you had fights over it, like a bag of marbles. I remember when I was a teenager, you had a big, big fight about marbles and jump ropes. A jump rope and a marble. A trade that went, we traded and the trade went bad because the person changed their mind. And so there was a lot of argument about that. But now you look back and you think, when you're adult, says, wow, that was kind of foolish, wasn't it? But it was very important at the time. Well, ouch, God cut that branch off. God's cutting those branches. He's pruning. But the pruning isn't for the purpose of doing you injury. The judgments of God are profitable to the righteous. Those branches he's removing and cutting off is only for the purpose that next season and next cycle, you're going to realize something that you didn't realize before. And then suddenly you realize this, wow, those things, years ago don't really have that, oppressive shadow on my thinking. Before they had an oppressive shadow. Now it doesn't have that oppressive shadow. Then you go to the next cycle, see? You're going to continue to grow and you're going to continue to experience these things, all the way up to the time of the rapture. Well, so he says here, that's the effectual working. That's a cause and effect. Effectual working of his power. So we can see, but the power of God was present now to sanctify this faith. This was given to me, Paul says, as a sign to you, but not because I'm a Jew, or a Pharisee. So he goes on here, verse 8, who am less than least of all saints, is this grace given? It's not given for the purpose of my signature. This is not a signature gift, he says. As Solomon brings down Ecclesiastes. Solomon in Ecclesiastes was talking about the signature because it's the spirit or the angel of the Lord worked with him in that capacity of wealth, being a king, and how to rule. So that we can see the signature angel working with the signature. And Paul says, but this isn't the signature angel. This is the holy angel. This holy angel is advancing me. The holy angel is advancing me. The holy angel is giving me things, which is outside the experience of the flesh. Unto me, who am less than least of all saints, is this grace given. And he says here, that I should preach among the Gentiles, that I will be their guide. I'll guide their understanding, that the flesh profits nothing for revelation, but the Spirit gives our soul drink. That is from the very depths of God as the crystal sea. That's what we're doing. See, the tethering of the angels gives us access to the depths of the heart of God. That's the depths of the crystal sea. That is of the Spirit, see? Our origin and our destiny was born in the crystal sea, being the bosom's, the Father's heart, the bosom of the Father. The birthing of our design began there, and now we're fulfilling it in this dimension, in part, as concerning choice of will for fruit bearing, for the reward of the inheritance which awaits us. That tethering is like a rubber band. It stretches to this dimension and it snaps back to the other one. And that's what we're waiting for. We're waiting for that snapping back. That snapping back like in a twinkling of an eye. that you stretch that rubber band until it, bing, you know, snaps right back. Okay, and that's what it is. You're in this dimension only for that period of time, and then, bing, it snaps right back to where you came from. Okay? So unto me, and who am less than least of all saints, is grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. I hate the word unsearchable. Because it's unsearchable, because it's not within reach of the logic of man. You cannot find it. It has to be revealed. That's why it's called unsearchable. You can't find it. The false religious system is still trying to discover truth. So they're resourcing a library of books. Yeah, library books, libraries of theology, commentaries, you know, all that stacked mile high. They're resourcing all these things. This is, there's got to be truth in here someplace. And the Spirit says, I'll really simplify it for you. Drink my cup. You drink of this cup and you will see the power of God. That's what we're doing. We're drinking of that one cup. But the false religious system keeps taste testing everything that's put before them. Their table is crowded with all kinds of philosophical cups, and everyone is bringing something to the, you can say, the church dinner. Okay, everyone is bringing something to the church dinner there, okay, but nothing of it possesses that which the Spirit gives. Not the Holy Ghost, anyway. Now, what about this unsearchable riches of Christ, to make all men see? Okay, we're putting a puzzle together here. The experience of the Lord are pieces of this puzzle that are being put together in our understanding to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mysteries. Hide the word fellowship. The word fellowship there has to do with an exchange. There's an exchange taking place. We fellowship with God through the exchanging of that which He gives to us. Okay, through the fellowship, there's an exchanging of something that's provided for us by God. Okay, we see this even in sports. In sports, you see fellowship among the players. The fellowship among the players is that they know the score of the game, and they know how the game is played. They know the rules of the game, and they know how to maneuver. They know what their responsibility is. There's a fellowship there. They have something that's in common. Well, we have something that's in common with God, which the world doesn't have. We fellowship with Him, see, on the premises of the tokens He's provided for us, faith and charity. These tokens He's provided for us to make them all men see what is the fellowship of this mystery. There's the word mystery again. Okay, that means, what is this mystery? Beyond the veil. Okay, we are having fellowship with God with things that cannot be seen with a carnal eye, but can be experienced by faith, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God. See, that's where it's at. It's hid in God. That's the bosom of the Father. It was the bosom of the Father who created all things by Jesus Christ, being the conscience of God. Because His oath preaches to everyone's conscience about His presence. Everything that God created, He bears a trademark in it. He bears a token or trademark within it that speaks of its maker, Jesus Christ. Let's read this last verse here, and we'll offer sacrifices to the intent. This is the divine purpose, Paul says, including all these things which He just provided regarding the government of His stewardship. And regarding the foundation of that truth which He's laying in your heart, and also regarding the fruit that will come forth as the rod buds, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers of the air, that the church is beginning to understand the true tethering of our existence. To the intent, that is for this purpose, that now the principalities and powers of the air might be known by the church. The church is now beginning to realize this regarding this divine tethering. The heavenly places might be known by the church. Well, what is the church supposed to know? The manifold wisdom of God. Okay, that which is hidden in all creation is manifested through Jesus Christ, and that which the Spirit provides for us gives us direction for faith, which is in a stewardship and in your priesthood. We have to stop right there. All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, okay, if you have to begin to seek God, you're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset, and you're going to have to seek Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, okay, if you want to come in covenant with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today, and continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek Him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ersick here speaking. Have a good day, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.